Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
Sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, this is in honor of Dennis Eckersley.
I'd go with Hold On Loosely.
A little more wild thing.
Hair blowing.
But top this, down. I mean, this conjures up 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little more late 80s.
Yesterday in the Boston Globe, Chad Finn published a profile on Dennis Eckersley. All right? He's talking about talking to Eckersley about his criticisms and critiques of other players. And he said players sometimes take umbrage. David Price, who Eckersley had criticized for his deliberate pitching style, overheard the broadcaster utter on air a one-word comment, yuck, at the stat line of Eduardo Rodriguez in a minor league rehab start. Price decided the team playing with a captive audience was the appropriate time to let Eckersley know how he felt. Dan Shaughnessy described the scene like this. Price was standing near the middle of the team aircraft, surrounded by fellow players waiting for Eckersley. We know all this, right? And it was Price who stood in front of... Now, this is important, though, to remember exactly what happened. Price stood in front of Eckersley and shouted, "Here he is, the greatest pitcher who ever lived. This game is easy for him." When a stunned Eckersley tried to speak, Price shot back with, "Get the F out of here." It was an ambush, tactless and calculated, and it still bothers Eckersley. Here's what Eckersley told Chad Finn. "I didn't know how to deal with that. I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him. Never." In parentheses, broadcasters now board the plane before the players.
How does this happen? You're the number one analyst. You're the analyst for this team. Like, I put him above Remy. I know Remy does more games than that, but when Eck does it, and you travel, and I do the broadcast, I travel. I'm critical of guys. I couldn't imagine a guy confronting me on a plane in front of the entire team. Like, I would never want to get on that plane again. It's got to give Eck a pit in his stomach.
And by the way,
planes with this team.
This is 2 years ago.
He's too fiery.
But 2 years ago, this is what Eckersley said. I don't know when the Globe, when Chad Finn talked to him, like, I don't know, a week or two ago. Recently. This just got published yesterday. Eckersley said, "I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him. Never. I don't really give a blank one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or the other." When asked about the incident day after it happened, Price said, "Some people just don't understand how hard this game is."
McCarthy, you have better baseball memory than most. I thought this was buried right after that, where they all came to, not to meet each other, but I thought that they spoke, they sort of buried this thing.
No,
all
it wasn't.
Of them, all
it
the was, parties. It wasn't?
It was never buried. In fact, the Red Sox, there was the whole thing how nobody in uniform ever apologized.
Farrell never said anything, right?
Farrell never said anything. I think maybe some folks in the front office came up to Eckersley.
It was like Sam Kennedy.
Something like that. But nobody in uniform ever apologized to Dennis Eckersley for the way he was treated.
Wow.
Yuck.
Have you ever had one word that just summed up everything better than that, that just was so used perfectly with that performance? Instead of getting into the detail, how bad it was, just...
Yuck.
Yuck.
Perfect.
It's perfect.
It's absolutely perfect.
I can't believe that in 2 years, they haven't buried this thing at all. Now here's what David Price just he tweeted today. 10:47 a.m., this just came out, Jim? David Price just...
Well, Astro's no longer around, so he's got to do something.
Hey.
I mean, you read. So you start, so you start reading the trolling clicks of articles about your team, right?
Guy lost his dog.
I lost four.
Okay. Now, have both Eckersley and David Price tweeted about this, or just David Price?
Price. I think just Price.
Yeah, just David Price. So as Zoe mentioned, people across the street did a little write-up of it, and they tweeted out a link with that, "I don't plan on seeing him, comma, never." And that's what Price retweeted.
Okay.
With what emojis did he... a laughing
emoji? Seven crying laughing emojis.
And then he tweeted back at somebody. He said, "I had a meeting set up to apologize to him, and he backed out that day. Get your facts right."
I thought something was set up between for them to meet. Like, on, they were either at home or on the road.
Let me ask you something, all right? If a player wants to come and talk to you from the Patriots...
No, they come right up.
They have to set up a meeting with you?
They know exactly what bus I'm on. They know exactly where I'm in the hotel. They could stand and wait for me in the lobby.
Why does there have to be a meeting?
They call my room at the hotel or stay in the same hotel.
And, sorry, just by sheer number of players, that's a much bigger operation than the Red Sox. What the Patriots have going on, it's a bigger place. It's tougher to find.
Tell you what,
you're not there at practice. You're not there with the team every day. You're there essentially with and around those guys 2.5 days a week during the regular season. If a player had a problem with you and wanted to bury the hatchet with you, how tough would it be for that player to come find you, Zo?
Not tough at all.
Not tough at all.
But the Patriots do a fantastic job keeping it separate. Like, we go through security ahead of the team. We're on different buses. We board a different part of the plane. We never see the team, you know, when we travel, except in a hotel. You'll see them in a hotel. You don't go on the buses.
But you're in the same hotel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could dial the road like, "Hey, operator, please connect me to Scott Zolak. Thank you. Boom, here it is. Ring. Hello."
But that's not how it is in baseball, though. I mean, these guys are hanging around, you know, during batting practice. They're around the clubhouse. It's a little bit different. The culture is different in baseball.
Tripp used to tell me he would go down into the clubhouse every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every day he was in the clubhouse.
You got Dustin Pedroia talking to Jerry Remy about knee problems.
Yep.
And that's the way they operate.
Every single day.
How do you want to keep things so set? Like, if you're Price, and now all of a sudden you hold all the cards, right? City's yours. You won. Okay, you won. Just bury this. Why make this more of an issue?
And to say that you need a meeting
for... Your team is 10 games back. Why make this an issue now?
To say you
well,
need...
Well, he's making an issue, but Eck brought it up first, right? Eck did bring it up.
Sure.
Well, Eck was asked about it. Eck should have probably...
Eck didn't bury it either, so I don't know.
Eck's a little prickly.
It's probably the wrong way to respond, but Eck did bring it up.
Well, why is it? Because, like, we dig the prickly Eck, but yet we don't dig the prickly Price. Yeah. There's another thing.
Price is always prickly?
Yeah. See, Eck's more, I think Eck's more affable. Yeah.
This thread is fascinating, though. David Price with the seven laughing emojis over the tweet that said, "Eckersley is still baffled over David Price's airplane ambush. I don't plan on seeing him, never." David Price laughs at that. Maria...
Stefanos?
Caracia. I don't know. At Rodney, whatever.
She's from
Maria.
Rhode Island.
She's from Rhode Island.
Maria!
Your actions and comments were out of line. Like what he said or not, he knows exactly how hard the game is, and his spot in Cooperstown proves it. You could always man up and apologize, but something tells me that just isn't your style.
Correct.
And that's what David Price said. "I had a meeting set up to apologize to him, and he backed out that day. Get your facts right." And then Spencer Melcher replied, "I can tell you're annoying."
The guy can't win.
Well,
someone else said, "Of course he backed out. Why would he sit there and listen to your BS?" But David Price holds out all the cards now, so it doesn't matter. What so?
Yeah, people, let's talk about this.
Oh, I didn't know we had people. We got people on the phone.
We're jammed up on this.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, man.
We will speak with Steve first in Plymouth. Go ahead, Steve. You're on with Hardy and Zoe.
Stevie.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. I just wanted to touch on this David Price and Eckersley thing. I mean, obviously David Price acted like, you know, a child, like he was still in high school in front of all his friends and all the cool girls and whatever. But at the end of the day, I mean, we need this guy right now. Like, he is our last resort at pitcher right now. I mean, if Evaldi comes back.
He's your best pitcher.
He really is, though.
Yeah.
And if Eovaldi doesn't come back and he's strong and Sale just continues his downfall, Steven Wright is ridiculously terrible. I mean, who do we got left, guys?
Oh, they're dead.
Seriously.
They're dead in water right now. Team's dead in water.
I mean, I wish they could clone David Price and put a couple of him in the bullpen, but either way.
I don't think anybody is discounting what David Price did for the team last year and what he means pitcher. On the team this year. He's the best pitcher. He's the best guy.
He's your best pitcher.
But the guy still won't let you like him.
He is impossible to like, isn't he? It's absolutely impossible to like.
Things have turned. It's been quiet. Yeah, your team's getting there. You know what's kicked in, and now you got to start this stuff again.
See, here's the difference between Price and Sale. People still like Sale, even though he's pitching like crap.
Oh, excellent.
You got a guy pitching like crap in front of the entire team out of the bullpen session, and it's almost like a pity party.
Yep.
But yet this guy does a tweet about one of your beloved broadcasters and former players, and all of a sudden it's hitting the fan again.
Oh, the difference is striking. I mean, we can spend a half hour talking about Chris Sale's struggles. Nobody wants to talk about it. You mentioned David Price being a prick, and he is.
Yeah.
For one single second, phone lines light up. That's the difference.
He's a polarizing. What you're finding out, Chris Sale is not polarizing. And I think he gets more credit for the way that thing ended and how he shut, ended the World Series, came in and pitched, three outs? Wasn't it a 4-1, a 5-1 game at that time?
Yeah.
It's not like it was 2-1.
In a game he couldn't start
runners? Right.
Because he wasn't healthy enough, and David Price started on short rest in place of him for the second time.
That probably drives Price nuts.
And it's not this one incident. I mean, there are other guys involved in that incident. Jackie Bradley Jr. was, and Jackie Bradley Jr. did his own thing with Ick, posed for a picture of him outside the plane, and then posted it with some like smarmy comment. People love Jackie Bradley Jr. Love him. And he's not even playing well.
Oh, he's developing.
The people like him? The people like Jackie Bradley Jr. on the whole?
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yes.
Yeah. Except for Adam Jones.
Except for Adam Jones.
Well,
who does he like? Like, he hates Taco Fall. It's just like, Jones.
That would be an interesting exercise. Maybe we can do that tomorrow. We should try and come up with a list of things that Adam Jones likes.
Have you?
People or things that he likes.
Have you seen this creepy new face app thing, the aging app and the whole Russian thing, or whatever? They did Jones, and oddly enough, it morphs Jones's face into an elderly a Belichick. Jones is morphing into Belichick when he ages. It's creepy.
What Russian thing?
It's a Russian. They say it's like a Russian-based app now. It's an aging app. But everybody's doing it on
Facebook. It's Face App. I didn't know if it was Russian.
He said it's Russian-based. I don't know.
They're infiltrating our elections, and they're infiltrating
facial
our
facial recognition. Oh, no!
That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Jeez.
Turn it off! I look the guy that hosts game shows with the long mic thing.
Bob Barker?
Bob Barker!
Kick Adam Sandler's ass, though. You could do.
Do you
that.
Look at all like
do a McCarthy one? We need one on McCarthy.
Oh, God. This is not
so. Do you look at all like your dad?
I kind of do.
Yeah, I look a little like my dad, a little bit.
Ooh, like my dad, and my grandfather there. Wow,
that's tough right there.
Look at Beetle. Beetle's such a happy old.
I really do. I don't want to look. The Felger Maserati one is.
Felger looks like scary. Richard Kimball.
Is
Mazik's like some pervert from the North End. Oh, Maz looks like a flasher, like a 75-year-old flasher from the North End.
But I'll tell you what.
Murray looks like he's still vaping at 80.
The most disturbing of all of them is Wallach from Toucher and Rich.
Which one's that? Fred looks like Santa.
Fred looks like Jerry Garcia in that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred has a Jerry Garcia thing.
Rich looks like John Dennis with a hat.
And then Wallach looks dead.
Wallach looks like they like them bugs came from them science movies.
Well, Wallach is the oldest guy here. So when you age Wallach, you just have to do a corpse. I mean, he's already old.
Wallach looks like a sales guy here.
I think they put his gap back too. All right, let's step aside. We'll take more of your calls. Somebody says, by the way, the jelly joke in the English muffin thing and the Jimmy Fallon thing we played a little while ago doesn't make any sense. We'll get to the bottom of the jelly on the English muffin joke.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, this is in honor of Dennis Eckersley.
I'd go with Hold On Loosely.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Let's take some calls, though. You ready?
Let's go.
Earlier, we heard the Jimmy Fallon thing where he was having players from Major League Baseball at the All-Star Game drop in phrases into their interviews. One of them was something about spreading jelly on an English muffin.
Right.
It didn't make any sense, which was the whole point of it. Eric says it doesn't make any sense. What's the problem, Eric?
At this point, I feel dumb waiting on the phone this long to do this, but I guess I'll do it. Can I just say I'm fired up for football and I'm so sick and tired of this baseball.
Hell yeah!
Celtics talk. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah!
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah!
All right, can you tell me the difference? Do you know the difference between jam and jelly?
I am cutting you off right now because I know where this joke goes, and it's...
Stop it,
I think it's an hysterical joke, but we don't have enough dump buttons.
It doesn't matter how much jelly you have in the jar. It's about how you spread it on your English muffin.
Call back and try and get it in.
No, don't. Do not. Do you know
this is going to end up being like that side day thing.
I can't even tweet the joke out. It's funny.
Why can't you tweet out?
Can't do it. Because my mother follows me on Twitter. That's why. You know, you can't. You can't do it.
She's a nice lady.
You ready to take a trip up to Maine?
Sure.
Let's talk to Blair.
Blair!
What's going on, buddy?
You won't last in Maine. You'll go there, and then you'll have to go to hell and back.
Oh. I don't know if that's necessary, but all right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you won't last. You don't even last on Boston Sports Network at 6 p.m. with that show. You know the show you've been on before at 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah. The beautiful, gorgeous lady.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's married.
She's married.
She's married? Oh, darn.
You got the hots for her, huh, Blair?
Are you talking about Trini or are you talking about Danielle?
Trini, baby.
Oh,
Trini.
No. Trini's Trini. Available.
Yeah, I was on with Trini last night.
Oh, yeah, baby. Trini Tomasi.
Trini Kuznarek.
That'd be disgusting.
Trini Kuznarek.
Her with Tomasi.
Right. Why wouldn't
Trini.
Yeah, oh, Trini Kuznarek.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she is.
You want to meet her?
Oh, I would love to sometime.
All right. Blair, why would I not last in Maine? I don't understand.
You won't last, Blair.
You wouldn't last to go to a Florida Georgia Line concert with me tomorrow either. I have too much fun, and then you go, I want to go home. Hey, this is not fun.
You do that, too.
Well,
you know you do that.
You're right. I would not go to a Florida Georgia Line concert. What about Zoe? Would he last in Maine?
I'd love it.
Oh, he would love to go to a Florida Georgia Line concert with me.
Damn right.
How much are you going to pay him? Because he won't go unless you pay him.
Have a couple beers and, have fun, a couple beers, some... Girls in Daisy Duke shorts and
all right.
You name it, man.
All right.
And wear cowboy hats and go out there and party like it's hard.
All right.
Party hard.
Party
baby.
Hard.
Party hard. Party hard, baby. Party hard.
Thanks, Blair.
Okay. Oh, yeah, baby. Trini Tomasi.
Could you imagine Tomasi?
Trini Kuznarek. Tomasi's married, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has kids.
Right. So that's not going to happen. I mean, unless things don't work out, you know, workplace romance. Yeah. And they say that's the worst answer to that question, Zoe. If your wife ever asks you, what would you, if I died, would you get remarried?
I hate that question. No.
And there's three ways to answer it. The correct way is, of course not.
Right.
The wrong way to...
Maybe. It depends to who.
The wrong way is... Or how about this? The question is, if I died, who would you get married to? The correct answer is, I would never remarry. The incorrect...
It's a test. I'm with you on this. This is a test.
The incorrect answer is, I don't know who I'd remarry. And the really wrong answer is...
A name.
Probably someone I work with. Probably someone at the office.
Hey, where else are you going to meet people?
I'll marry Jim.
That's right. I was asked that once. Who's your work wife? Like, Zoe? That's my
a Beetle.
That, you're right.
I put the young picture of Beetle up. He looks sexy on that. Is that we have that Young app too now, right? You put the
okay. The
Tom's doing all sorts of things on Face app. He's creating you guys as women.
Okay, the Young app I don't get.
I've already done that with Alex in the other room.
The young app I understand. If you want to see what you look like as a young person, look at an old picture of yourself. I mean, there's no mystery there.
No, but it takes you back.
The only mystery is to see how wrong they get it, and that way maybe you can determine how wrong they get your aging process.
Mine looks like my high school picture.
Well, mine did not look anything what I looked like as a young person, so I don't feel like that's what I'm going to look like as an old
person.
That's
you as a woman. You look like Dana Delaney. Delaney, right? Is that what her name is? It's hard.
Kim Delaney?
Kim Delaney. What do you... Oh. He's like a mortgage broker or something.
Okay. Oh, that they do very well. I'd be a mortgage broker. Are they hiring?
I'll go do
that right now.
Look at Maz as a woman. Maz looks like creepy, whatever you put him in. It's his nose. And it's the eyes. Yeah. Like, ooh.
All right, Zoe. Let's continue on.
Jesus.
Here.
Turn it off.
Do you want to... Would you like to follow up on the casino lawsuit?
No, I want to know what's wrong with the jam and the jelly.
With the bread.
It's a British thing, because you're one of our favorite movies is Notting Hill. Where, yes. Would you like to have some tea? Maybe some toast and jam. It's jam. It's not jelly.
Apricots and honey?
Apricots. It's not mayonnaise, you moron. Or yogurt. Oh, it's mayonnaise. Mm. That's why.
I'll give you a choice. We can talk about Brooks Koepka for a second.
I want to do Brooks Koepka.
Or we can talk about the...
I think we need more time on Koepka. I don't think we could do 3 minutes on Koepka. I love it. I dig it. I think golf needs Bruce Koepka. That's his name, right? Not Bryce Koepka. Bruce Koepka.
It's Brooks Koepka.
Brooks.
And now I can't find the follow-up on the casino story.
But
I can't do it justice.
This thing's getting some legs, man.
Yeah, we'll take Colin instead.
All right.
We'll go to Steve in Milford.
Steve!
What do you got for us, Steve?
Hey, boys. What's going on? Just had a quick thing. You guys are talking about, like, comments you would tell your wives if they were to die.
Nope.
I always joke around with my wife and tell her that I wouldn't torture myself twice and would just remain single.
Yeah. That's, and again, do you remember the whole Felger Maz thing about why they don't do
Is that
jokes?
David Price that just called?
Do you remember Felger Maz going off on this and why they don't allow people to call in and tell jokes? Because most of the time, they're even if they're funny.
Well, 75% of the time, they wouldn't get them.
That's fair.
That's the first problem.
They don't have time for it.
But the second, you know. You call up and tell a joke?
Yeah.
It's
really, the jelly jam one's really bugging me right now.
Unless you're Lenny Clark, who called up and he does...
Well, I want Lenny to call and tell me the jelly jam joke.
No, you... No.
He don't care. He'll let it fly.
No, he won't. Even Lenny would stop himself from telling that joke.
I was telling you, what the honey, you come see me down the vineyard. We'll go fishing.
All right, very quickly
we'll put
here.
Put some jam on that jelly.
Do we have the Brooks Koepka audio, Jim? Can we play that? Let's listen to Brooks Koepka talking about the British Open, which begins tomorrow, Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Go ahead, Brooks.
I just practice before the majors. Regular tournaments, I don't practice. If you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
What a meathead. I love it.
Oh, he's a total blockhead. Brooks Koepka, you want to get like deep inside his psyche. I don't think there's a whole lot there.
Four times a year.
That guy hits the ball really far and really straight, and he can play him some golf, and he doesn't need to he practices before the majors, mostly because those guys don't play in the weeks before the majors.
I root for him more than I root for Spieth. Like, he is the anti-Spieth, which turns me on about that sport. Like, they need more of Bruce Koepka types.
Well,
I don't need the young robots that just you never speak, that you never hear anything about or root for.
I would like Brooks Koepka with a little more personality, just a little more going on.
How tight can he get his shirt? Can he get any tighter?
But just to watch him play and the way that guy absolutely just muscles the ball. I mean, that's cool. But I think the idea of him not practicing, he's not alone. There are some guys who go the total other direction all they want to do is practice. They'd rather practice than play. You know, like way back in the day, Tom Kite was one of those guys. All he wanted to do was practice. And his coach would say, like, he would have him and Ben Crenshaw. Like, there were two students of his, Harvey Penick, and he was the coach. He said, I had to make Ben go practice, and I had to make Tom go play, because they wanted to do the other. But a lot of these guys, they take weeks off before majors to get ready by practicing. They're they go warm up on the range.
Yeah.
Their warm up is... The amount of time they put into their warm-ups and sometimes their range sessions afterward are more practice than any normal golfer will do in a given week. So they are, in a way, still practicing. But to go out there with, like, your swing coach or your short game coach and go out there, no, he's not doing that before every week. Why screw it up? When you're playing as well as Brooks Koepka is, what are you going to go do? Go out there and learn a bad habit that you can take out of the course with you?
Overanalyze the damn thing.
The guy went back-to-back U.S. Opens.
He wears those tight shirts and the little guns popping out. He's like flexing up. I don't know. He's just not Spieth, and I dig that.
Another PGA championship this year. What is it? He didn't need to practice. Not for his game.
Bruce Koepka.
If I were him, I wouldn't be practicing either.
Bryce?
Brooks. Brooks.
I said Brooks. Bruce?
All right, let's...
You said Bryce and Bruce.
Oh, whatever. He's not memorable.
Let's follow up on the casino story.
All right.
And coming up at 1 o'clock, Kemba Walker will be officially introduced as a member of the Boston Celtics. You'll hear that happen live here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So, Zoe, yesterday you asked how many decks were in play for a certain casino game. Remember that?
Yeah, and a shoot. Yeah.
By the way, when you go to a casino, and you are not frivolous with a dollar.
Nope.
We know this about you, right?
Right.
You'll gamble, though.
I'll gamble, yeah.
So what do you like to play?
Dollar slots. I like Wheel of Fortune because I like the wheel spins.
Who does not? Everybody, put your high hats down for a second.
But
okay?
I'll bet the max on that, so like the payout's better.
Who does not like playing Wheel of Fortune slot machines? I mean, everyone loves to spin the big wheel.
Spin it.
You spin that wheel, baby.
I actually like the video roulette, so you don't have to deal with the chips. It's not video roulette, but the actual roulette wheel is there and the ball spins.
Yeah.
It's encased.
Yeah.
But it's done on screens.
But
you could touch and move things quickly. As opposed to waiting your turn and give me the chips and you got to wait for this guy. You can't touch it. You know, I like that. I like how quick it is.
Didn't we have like one show where the three of us were down there at Foxwoods?
Yeah, and we just kept playing.
We stayed the night before.
Yes.
And we sat down at one of those video roulette tables for a while.
Yeah.
That was a draft. The Malcolm Brown
that
draft.
That was the draft. Thank you.
We watched the draft at night and we did the show the next day.
Thank you, Jim. Mm. All right. But you asked, like, how many decks are in a shoe, all right? This is the follow-up from the lawsuit that alleges that the what at least one of the games at the new Encore Casino, which have you been to it yet?
I've not. I've seen the videos and the news reports and the pictures. It looks unbelievable.
Unbelievable, this place.
I have three friends that went there for the boxing, and they went to the restaurant. They said the food's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Like high end.
Gorgeous looking.
But they got to make money.
They said, look, the game out here, this table game you guys got out here, this doesn't comply with Massachusetts gaming rules because, yes, the house has the edge on all these games, every single one of them. But they can only have so much of an edge. And they said specifically this 6-to-5 payout rule on blackjack.
Right.
And I thought, that's weird. So all their blackjack tables pay 6-to-5 on a blackjack? So
that's going to make you go to other casinos.
Well, instead of getting a $150 win on a $100 blackjack bet, they're only doing, $120?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Not
well,
good.
All right. Back up. They have normal blackjack tables and 6-to-5 blackjack tables, which I thought this might be the case, but it required some further reading and some further digging. They just don't have them all open at all the time, right?
Most don't, though, yeah.
You go into any casino.
I think the ropes are up. Yeah, closed.
Ropes are up. I mean, it's like there's only a certain number of dealers. There's only a certain number of players in the casino at certain times. Now, I can't imagine they're hurting for business right now, but there are other games. Sometimes the limits on those tables will make it prohibitive for you to go and play them. If it's a $100 blackjack minimum table on the 3-to-2 payout, fine, I'm going to go play it for 6-to-5. The lawsuit said this. 6-to-5 payout rule was coupled with more rules that tipped the scales in favor of the casino even further, giving the casino an advantage beyond what is legally permissible. Now, they do lay out different playing styles and different rules for the 6-to-5 payout games. Instead of playing with 6-to-8 decks, the game should be played with 1-to-2 decks. That makes a difference. You can actually count.
Okay.
You and I could learn to count the number of high cards.
I can remember cards.
In a 1 or 2 deck game. That's actually something that you could train yourself to do. It's much easier to do with fewer decks. The player must be dealt 2 face down cards that you can look at, which is actually kind of fun. You can actually touch the cards in certain games. You know, in regular blackjack, you don't touch those cards. In the blackjack most of us play, you don't. The only thing you touch are your chips. The chips that you're betting or
they
the chips
mad,
that
huh?
you've won. Oh, yeah. That's, there's
like powder in the cards, right?
I don't think there's any powder.
Not powder,
on
but I mean, there's.
They don't want you touching the cards.
They don't want your greasy hands.
In a standard 3-to-2 game with 6 decks going on. Yeah, you're rubbing an invisible fluid on the ace so you see when it's coming. No, but in a 1-to-2 deck game, they just change the decks out all the time. You can touch them all you want. Hell, if you play high limit baccarat, they use the cards once. People burn them. People rip them up. You can do whatever you want if you're playing high limit baccarat at certain casinos.
It's like saying that baccarat.
Baccarat, yeah. And like James Bond.
Baccarat.
The lawsuit estimates that players who are disadvantaged in certain ways, right? For instance, at the Encore, the suit alleges 8 decks are used and players are not allowed to touch the cards, which are dealt face up. That gives the casino a statistical advantage. Lawsuit estimates players who are disadvantaged this way could lose $35.60 per hour on $50 wagers. And that's too much of an advantage for the casino. Here's my point on this, though. Most people go to the casino and willingly walk in with 100, 300, 3,000, whatever it is, knowing full well they're probably going to lose it all. It's part of what you're going in for.
You have to.
Most people do not walk in with a reasonable expectation of walking out winners. That place and all the places in Vegas that I love, that they are not built on winners. They are built on the casino maintaining an edge. The only people who are going to get pissed about this are the people who are actually trying to beat these games.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody who actually plays games with that expectation
no.
of beating the game and walking out a winner?
No.
Like, out of all the people I know, of all the gamblers that
I
know.
One guy. And we met him the only time we went to Aruba, we ended up becoming friends with this guy. And he was actually ushered from two different casinos. He just follow me around. Just follow me around. Do what I do. Bet what I bet. And play craps. I had no idea about craps. But he knew how to beat the table. And he goes, you're going to win 70% of the time.
He knew how to beat.
Not to beat. I don't know how to describe it, but we bet what he bet, and we just kept making money. And then next thing you know, here comes a casino host. Sir, you have to leave. And they're watching him. And they knew him. And then he was, you know, and they just escorted him out. We went to another casino.
But you didn't know what he was doing.
Didn't know what he was doing. Had no clue. Well, but I ended up making friends with him because he had all these chains. Like, you guys like the chains? The gold? He goes, yeah, I buy a ton down here. I come down here, and I come down here, and I beat these tables all the time. He goes, they got me on the watch. He goes, because I know how to beat it. I don't know how we did. I didn't want to. You don't want to get close to them.
Now, there,
you
know? Look, there are ways that
you're in a different country. Like I don't need this attachment.
There are ways that cheating at every game.
And he knew it, and he had it beat.
Craps is, I believe, the one game in the casino with the best edge, unless you're.
That's
playing,
what he said.
Yeah, but you have to play it a certain way. You can't make any of the silly side bets. You can't make the bet on the hard six, right? You can't bet the no bet.
You got to be steady.
You got to bet like the pass line. You got to back up your bet. And I don't even know if you're supposed to bet the six and the eight once the number comes out. I don't know because I don't play a ton of craps. But I know that if played correctly, it gives you among the best, if not the best, edge against the casino. But it doesn't put you up over 100%. It might put you at like 99.8%. So with perfect play over the course of, say, 5 hours, you're probably only going to lose 2 cents on the dollar. You know, it's not, even that is not, you got to walk away when you're up. That's it.
Right.
Of all the gamblers I know, with the exception maybe of.
What about Murray and Lischitz and him?
Well,
when do they walk away? The bankroll boys.
Exactly. You know, now those guys do have an expectation of winning, but that's sports betting and that's something different. Or RJ Bell, sports betting, that's something different. I'm talking about walking into a casino with money and you're going to play those games, either table games or slots or video poker. I don't know one single person who does it with the expectation of winning. Right. It's just not how it goes. The lawsuit alleges, though, that doesn't mean you have to make it. You don't have to swing it even further in the casino's favor. But I'll say this. Just kind of to put a bow on it, I don't know if the Encore in Boston is going to go this way. The Encore in Las Vegas, and this was years ago when I talked with there's a director of golf out there, and that golf course is reopening in the fall. The old Desert Inn, and they bulldozed and they built a brand new golf course there at Wynn, right? And they closed it, they're going to do renovations, they're going to open it back up. That hotel and casino was the first one in Las Vegas whose restaurants, shopping, dining, golf, spa, all put together, that revenue eclipsed that of the casino. There are actually people going out there and spending more money on all the stuff around it than they are gambling. That's what these places are becoming. The gambling
destination
is secondary to all the other stuff that goes on. That's what they've
wanted. Better than.
That's what they've wanted in that town for years to make it a little more, you know, on the up and up.
Yeah.
But there's only one place I know of that's actually doing it, and that was the Wynn and Encore in Vegas. Maybe someone else has done it since then. It's about 5 years ago when this happened. But
Bellagio, too. I think people are like going out there, like the Bellagio net, like because of the draw of it, the beauty of it. Like
when you
like
get
my parents used to go all the time. And they're not big gamblers, but they like staying there because it's like it's lux, you know?
When you get done paying for some nice dinners,
yeah.
Maybe you go see the Cirque du Soleil show. Maybe
it's Celine Dion.
Maybe you're one of these people that's going to drop, you know, 11 grand on a watch while you're there.
You see Pauly D.
That money adds up to the point where it's at least enough, at least one of those properties where they make more money on the other stuff than they do in the casino, which is unbelievable.
Wow.
All right, so we will continue talking with you about everything as we've kind of laid it out here. We've got Chris Sale with the people watching him in his bullpen session
yesterday. The Wallace feel bad for me, pity bullpen.
Cashner's start last night.
Bag of bleep.
And I think it's all coming up here at noontime.
Yeah.
We should address the Baker Mayfield story.
Cool. This thing was real, huh?
Apparently, a couple of years ago, this was very real. We'll tell you what it was, and we'll take your calls on it, too, at 617-779-0985.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kemba Walker will be officially introduced as a member of the Boston Celtics coming up at 1 o'clock today. You'll hear it live on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're going to talk about Baker Mayfield, who apparently thought maybe it's going to be a New England Patriot. Yes!
There's some legs to that, yeah.
Bob Sosie's out there, who is, by the way, I would say at peak summer fitness level right now. Mm. Look at him.
He's been on vacation. Went up to Maine, great state of Maine.
Oh, my God.
Hanging out with Blair up there. Look going to concerts. Cowboy hats.
He looks like
he's growing his hair out, too. Looks good.
He looks like one of those, like, triathletes. You know, like one of those enduro athletes. You know, he's all compact and trim. Anyway, before we do that, though, McTakey had thoughts on the robot umpires.
This is good.
That were being used, I guess, in minor league games, and then they tried it again here.
Yes, so the Atlantic League is an independent league. They are trying out the robots, as you described them, for the next 3 years.
Remember how that's how they said it in Lost in Space, though?
Yes.
The kid in the family. I have to go get the robot.
Yep, the robot.
Real quick, you guys in or out on the robots?
In.
In?
In. Oh, in on robots.
Well, what happens when the robot doesn't work?
Then,
what happened?
Then you got an umpire
back there.
All right, so that's Frank Viola's point. You remember him? Is the won the Cy Young about 30 years ago?
Yep. Yeah.
So he is the pitching coach for the High Point Rockers in the Atlantic League.
There you go.
He had a first inning of the robots. He had a problem with the robot umpire. The ball was called high. Frank Viola determined that, at least in his opinion, it was not high. He asked the human umpire to overrule the robot. The human umpire did not overrule the robot. Frank Viola told the human umpire to go do his bleeping job and was ejected from the game for arguing with the robot umpire.
So, I think there should be a button where you press it, like if you're the human umpire, and the coach pisses you off to the point where that robot can now come out of the wall out in center field, beat the living hell out of the manager.
I like it. Yeah, let's get robot
like a
violence.
Cyborg. Yeah,
like battle
robot
bots.
Versus human.
You could send a battle bot out there.
Makes baseball interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I'm a big fan of that.
I'm not saying it's not without kinks. I'm saying that there are issues to be worked out. Yeah, are you in or out on the robots?
Sure, I'm in on them. That's fine, but don't argue with the robot then.
Right. If you're going to go that way, you got to let the system start to take place and let it work.
If you can't argue balls and strikes with a human umpire, then you certainly aren't going to be able to argue with a robot.
Thank you.
Well, don't tell that to Frank Viola.
Okay. Well, Frank Viola is, you know.
Well, he sort of reminds me of one of those old school guys that says, you know what? I'm going to buck the system here.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of the robots.
No.
And here's what I'm going to do. Inning one, when I have my first issue, I'm going to make more of an issue than it really is.
I will just say this. And I don't think the robots are perfect. Like the K-zone thing, people act like that's perfect. It's absolutely not perfect.
Of course not.
But if you want to implement robot umpires, don't ever complain about what the robot says. You are embracing the robot overlord. Accept it.
Yeah, and that's really my only dog in this hunt is the fact that the robots are listening. Whether it's your iPhone, it's Alexa, whatever it is, they're listening and they're keeping track of who's in and who's out.
The robot takes names. There's no doubt about that.
I myself will make a great pet. And I will be obedient. I'll help keep others in line. I will help sell them on the fact that our new robot overlords really do have our best interests at heart, and they're going to take care of us, right?
No, of course
from
they
day
will.
One, I have said this, right? You know, I'm Hunt Stevenson and Gung Ho. I'll get these guys in line. You know, I will work with you at Asan Motors to make sure everybody else does the morning exercises. And, you know, finds their right position on the assembly line. And that worked out at the end of that movie, too.
See, here's the
everybody
thing.
Got along.
Here's the thing about robots and computers. They all break. So when they break, just accept the fact that it might not be a ball or a strike. And, you know, then they might come and take over. Just understand that they will break. The track man will break. Yeah. The robot umpire will break. Just accept it.
I don't see. I really don't see the issue with it, other than pitchers who have gotten accustomed to certain umps giving them certain pitches and giving them certain calls that the robot is not going to give them.
Robot's going to malfunction,
and probably some hitters too. I mean, look, there's bias in the league.
Of course there is. So that 3-0 pitch that everybody's gotten accustomed to, the strike,
it's a strike.
Zone getting a little. The robot doesn't care whether the count's 3-0.
I love that. Yes. I love that part. Yeah, because you know what you're going to take. You're going to take on 3-0. You know, if I'm just going to paint that corner, that guy's going to call it a strike. So, see you. Sit down. Yeah, instead of giving you the ball.
I want a varying strike from the robot. I want no. He's calling it low today.
I like that.
Oh yeah.
If you could tweak it,
you find out you tweak it just a little bit.
You skew the settings.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I like that.
Just
McCarthy.
A little bit.
Now we're talking.
You never know what you're going to get, and you're going to find out early in the game. A robot's calling the high strike today.
Well,
I like that.
For instance, tomorrow's game. You would enlarge that strike zone by quite a bit.
Of course you would. Getaway game.
You don't have a pool
Absolutely.
Robot. You know what you can do in your pool robots? Your cleaners, you could tweak the settings on the bottom to where, you know, if you wanted to clean the deep end more, if you wanted to climb the wall, there's different things you could do your pool robots. So
yeah.
This is interesting.
And I like, you know, in the middle of a blowout game, a game that's just taking forever, all of a sudden the robot starts calling strikes way out there.
How about pace of play robot adjustments?
I love the pace of play robot.
Our inning and a half, and oh my God, we're at 2 hours. You know what? Let's go. Start calling.
Exactly. Yep. The robot can make it happen.
Hey!
The Lord knows the humans can't make it happen. They can't make the game go faster.
No.
I embrace the robot overlord, especially if they get baseball back down to 2.5 hours, the way it used to be and the way it should be.
The problem is the humans don't care if the games go faster. The humans at the top levels, it's obvious they don't care if the game goes faster. Robots are unfeeling.
Yep.
Care don't enter into it.
That's right.
Once they decide, that's it. All right, you want to talk Baker Mayfield next, though?
Let's do it.
All right, we will in 90 seconds after Matt McCarthy's Hub Headlines.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at granitecityelectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.